Darkness falls across the screening land. The midnight hiring hour is close at hand. Applicants crawl in search of blood to terrorize your working home. Coming to you from NATSB Scare Quarters, it's the Halloween special edition of Successful Hire, the Curse of the Were Applicant. Listen if you dare.
Hello, Podcast Land. It's Halloween. I am Dan Ominous Soblinger.
And I am Troy Treacherous Trussell.
And I am Todd Slithering Sutcliffe.
All right, I think we can probably dispense with the craziness, but we are still here with a podcast for you here on Halloween.
Yes, welcome.
And as you heard our very scary announcer proclaim, this is the Halloween special edition of Successful Hire, The Curse of the Were Applicant.
The Were Applicant.
What does that mean exactly, Todd?
Wow, I didn't come up with the title. I'm just going with you guys. But I'm guessing should. Werewolf.
Yeah.
Scary. Ow. Ominous.
Ow. Right. Bad hires are not just bad hires.
No. Bad hires are really bad
we
hires.
We call it collateral damage. So let's just start out with this. We're going to talk today about some bad hires that we in our industry have come across and we've helped clients with. But what we really want to talk about is what happens? If you hire a bad hire, Todd, what are the ramifications?
Man, it can go on forever. First you have money, financial ramifications.
And really we're talking about the cost that you spent to onboard them, train them. Yeah.
Right, and then you're giving them company secrets. Who knows what they're going to do with those? Mm-hmm. So there's that, and then what if they do something to a client? I mean, what if they let a client down? That's even worse to me than the financial realm of it, because then you have a ticked off client. That's our job, is to serve them. You got that. You got public perception. The list goes on and on and on about these Were applicants.
Troy, in the workplace, since you do some of the HR function here at National Screening Bureau, what happens when you have a bad hire employee internally?
It kind of brings the other employees down.
They're poison.
They sink the ship.
They're poisonous.
Yeah.
They infect the others.
Right. Well, and even after you do the right thing and terminate them for cause.
Right.
There's still the perception on the other employees, like, well, who's he going to hire now? That bad hire is infectious, and it also erodes confidence within the team.
Right.
That's what I've seen.
Well, one thing that I've seen is the drug culture brought right here to our office. What I'm talking about here, Dan, is our clients bringing in their employees for reasonable suspicion drug testing. A couple of weeks ago, we had a supervisor call, and he called and he had an employee that was just acting funny, acting a little weird, really good employee, but he was acting drunk. And so they wanted to get him tested for reasonable suspicion. So he brought him in, and while the employee was actually sitting up front, the supervisor was talking to me.
So the supervisor thought he was drunk.
Right. The supervisor was talking to me, you know, telling me all the signs that he saw, that he was stumbling, slurring of speech, and just kind of acting weird. And he showed up for work. Dan, he works the midnight shift. He showed up at 6 a.m. to go to work. He thought he was there on time.
Okay, so he's supposed to go there at midnight.
Yeah, and he shows up at 6 a.m. He's like clocking in. Boom, I'm here on time. All right.
So the computer's like, what the?
Exactly. Like, spit him right out. But no, so anyway, I brought him back. I said, I told the supervisor, we'll go ahead and we'll do the alcohol test, but if it doesn't show up, we'll move right into the drug test.
DOT protocol, very nice.
We did the breath alcohol, and he blew all zeros. The look on the supervisor's face was priceless.
We see this in my world, too. When officers come in, they blow zeros. They're like, well, what do I do now? I thought he was drunk.
But he's not, because he's on drugs.
That's right.
So we went straight into the UA collection, collected his urine, and it was disgusting. It was dark orange. This guy was seriously dehydrated. I felt, you know, bad for his health. But we did an instant test on him, and it showed positive for ecstasy. So we sent it off for confirmation just to be sure, like we do with every non-negative test that we have. The supervisor was still dumbfounded, and they followed their policy from there.
What a nightmare.
What a horror story.
That is a Were employee.
That's a Were
Applicant.
We sugarcoat that Were Applicant to Were employee in this case. by saying, well, you guys did a great job, followed your policy, good job. This is the special Halloween edition, so let's talk about what the actual nightmare is. How many times do you think that guy showed up to work under the influence of a substance, either ecstasy or something else, before they caught him? How many hours of lost work and rework and errors that impact their relationship with their customer do you think happened? Because he's out there high on X.
I'm sure it was the first time.
I'm sure it was the first time. And I'm sure if you ask him, that's what he'll say.
I'm sure.
And if you believe that, right. I have some oceanfront property in Oswego that I'd like to sell you.
How much? Oh, wait.
Arizona.
So, yes. No, that's a good point. Because that guy, he could have been out on a truck.
Somebody could have died easily.
Big, big bucks. And then the bottom line is people get hurt. Great story. That was creepy.
Yeah, that's right.
Troy.
Well, Dan, do you have a scary story about a wear applicant or?
Oh, yeah. And in fact, let's just take a look inside the criminal mind.
The criminal mind.
This is actually a story from several years ago. Deep in the crypt of my memory, we had an operation set up at a local gas station. We were trying to recover stolen property off Craigslist. And so I was, at that time, an undercover detective. And myself and my partner were watching this parking lot, and we were getting ready to set a deal to buy back this stolen property. And the guy never showed for that. But while we're sitting there, you know, we're trained officers. You know, my partner had just come out of a street narcotics unit. And we basically see drug activity going on in the parking lot. So we go ahead and call in the takedown team that's already there for the thieves and call them in on what looked like a drug transaction. And lo and behold, the purchaser of the drugs was an employee on the clock, late at night, in his company vehicle.
No way.
Yep. And so think about this. Jeez. Now think about this. He's actually, he works for a plumbing company, and he's on call that night going to after hours calls, making the big bucks.
Right.
Driving the company vehicle on the company time, dressed in the company uniform, makes a quick pit stop at the local stop and go to buy him some crack cocaine in
Holy
his company
cow.
Vehicle, which now we've seized. Now we've pulled
right.
up. There's four police cars with the red and blues on, clearly pulling over and arresting a guy out of this company vehicle with the name of the company prominently displayed on the side. We've got him in handcuffs.
Wow.
This takes about an hour, and I won't say the gas station chain because they had nothing to do with the incident, but it's the most prominent gas station chain in the area. People are
right.
coming and going from
this
gas
station. There were other people there.
Tons
that
of people
this.
Are coming and going
right.
and seeing and going, oh, I don't think I want them to do my plumbing.
Right.
All right. So then, this is, you know, 9, 10 p.m., we're calling the owner of the company. You know, we have to.
Wow.
He tells us who his boss is. And we call them down there to come collect this truck and all the, this thing's full of expensive tools.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this guy, now what do you do?
Wow,
that's a nightmare.
That is horrible.
That is a curse.
That is a curse of the wear employee.
But let me tell you that's not an isolated incident. We frequently arrest people in their company vehicles.
Wow.
So in fact, you know, more recently, I had a guy run into the back of a police car with a police officer in it. Who was driving down the road. The guy runs the stop sign, slams into my officer in his company truck.
My goodness.
After hours.
After hours,
drunk.
But still in the company
and
truck.
Drunk.
And drunk.
So.
Man, I got chills just hearing about that story. Just the fear of company owner having that kind of thing happen. How much marketing, how much PR, how can you ever repair the damage to your image that's been done?
Well, let me put the cherry on top for that.
Oh, there's more.
Top.
But wait,
You're an owner of a company.
Right.
When you are off work, I mean literally, whenever you can find the miraculous time away from work, do you want to be worried about work?
Not really.
You want to think that everything's running smoothly, right?
This guy
had actually taken his company vehicle on a Friday night to go drinking and then to drive home on the very weekend that his boss had gone to vacation in Colorado.
Oh, no.
So we called his boss on vacation in Colorado at about 11 p.m. to say, hey, what do you want us to do with your wrecked company vehicle that's sitting in the roadway here? Because your employee decided while you were out of town it'd be a great idea to drive drunk and hit a cop.
We just got 2-for-1 on your wear story.
Have a good vacation.
Man. I bet he ended up coming back home, so therefore we probably had his wife was upset.
Oh,
there was
yeah.
probably a divorce
oh, yeah.
that came out of this whole thing.
Okay, well,
custody
that
battle. I mean, you know, real world, it could go that way.
Real world, there's a lot of stress on the owner.
A lot of
part.
Stress on the owner.
And that's what happens when you don't screen properly, using a trusted source, do your due diligence, you get cursed. And
right.
And honestly, what happens is you're hiring the criminal mind.
So, Todd, do you have a horror story for us as well?
I'm going to talk about In the Queue and tell you what the charge we found this week in the queue was.
The Queue.
It was aggravated sexual battery. Intentionally touching without consent, 16 years or older, with force and fear.
Maybe there was just a misunderstanding.
I'm sure he was 18, she was 17.
It was probably the first time he just bumped into somebody.
So, what does that mean?
So, that brings me to an almost where applicant.
Okay.
This was for a prominent school district.
I know the one you're talking about. They are very prominent.
They are. They have a great reputation in the state.
Also true.
To this date. The first month that we did background checks for this district...
This is a while ago, right?
This was years ago.
Okay.
Yes.
Good.
I actually went and hand delivered the bill because, you know, it's money. It's an issue to a district spending the kind of money they do on a background checks. As I approached the person with the bill, they were like, "We don't care what it costs." Because
why pray tell would she say that?
Why pray tell? She actually did care, but we saved that district so much embarrassment, and we probably saved some children's dignity, because there was a gentleman who applied at this district to be a groundskeeper, but still, he's going to be around the kids. Mm-hmm. You know, the kids look to these people are, you know, as grandpas, as uncles.
They are in the children's lives.
Right. And that is I call that a position of trust. If they're in a position of trust at a location where anyone who works at a school should be trustworthy. So the kids are going to look at that person and say, "Hey, I can trust him." So when they see him after hours, that's when the bad things happen. This gentleman had been in prison for the last 18 years. He'd been out for 2, and he came and applied at the school district.
What is he in prison for?
He was a sex offender, violating children.
Mm-mm.
And he went to prison.
Which I have to say, if I got out, perfect job would be a gardener at a school.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're not KBI checked by law. You're around the kids, maybe even more than the teachers, depending.
Right. So, but here's the great part. This was, like I said, almost a where story. Because the district caught this person. It did not happen. It's a scary thing that could have happened.
Right. And they did. They went over and above what they're required to do under the
Correct.
Law. Because they understand the risk.
And I just want to throw out one other thing. This gentleman was not on the sex offender registry at that time. Because in Kansas at that time, 10 years... on your first offense, and you're off. Mm-hmm. Well, he'd been in prison during that time.
Right.
So he gets out. He's not on the registry. That's the standard check for a lot of districts and nonprofits. Do the sex offender registry. They're not on there. If it's their first offense, I guarantee there would have been a second offense.
The loopholes of the registry system alone could be a nightmare.
Oh, my goodness.
Where applicant podcast.
Troy, that was my where applicant story.
And that is great. You know why? Because the National Screening Bureau's comprehensive background check combined with that school district's
policies,
commitment, that school district's commitment and their policy of background checking, that was like a NATSB stake through the heart of that applicant, that where applicant, the silver bullet.
The silver
if it were,
bullet.
As it were.
As it were.
The silver
great,
bullet.
Great analogy.
Were. Thank you. I try. That's what I do.
We got through it.
All right, so those were all tales of doom and dismay and terror.
The pit of despair.
Horrible, horrible things could happen. If you don't background check people, I can't tell you this too many times.
Please do a background check.
So what we want to leave you with is this. Happy Halloween. Fear not. Trust your third-party administrators. Trust your credit reporting agencies. Do good, compliant background checks.
Trust, but verify.
Amen.
Trick or treat.
And load yourself up with good NATSB stakes and silver bullets, because it's a scary, scary hiring world out there, folks. I'm Dan Oblinger.
I'm Treacherous Troy.
And I'm Slithering Sutcliffe.
And this is Successful Hire.
Thank you for listening to the blood-curdling Successful Hire podcast. For more spooktacular information, visit our deathling website at www.natsb.com or email us at info@natsb.com.
You gotta turn your tongue.
Like that?
That's Chewbacca.
I know.